Just download the free Home Advisor app. Home Advisor.
When's the last time you got your carpets cleaned? Stop living in filth and flarn and have Oops Steam clean your house. They have trained and background screen professionals that use 250-degree steam to permanently kill germs and bacteria. Visit OopsSteam.com. That's OopsSteam.com.
Listen for CarPro USA news, tips, reviews, and updates Monday through Friday right here on ESPN 97.5. Find your next vehicle at CarProUSA.com. CarPro USA. Straight talk, expert answers, and trusted dealers.
So excited!
KFNC on Bellevue, Houston, a Gow Media Station.
ESPN.
ESPN. 97.5.
If I tell a joke, you've probably heard it before.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, two in the books, one to go. That means 1 hour left of the big show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. It's Barry, Nick, and Joel on a way back Wednesday in which Nick and I participated and Barry mailed it in. Exhibit A is playing right now.
Can you believe this video has 27 million views on YouTube?
Yeah.
Is this ABBA?
Yeah.
You know this song?
No, I just know the sound. They all their songs sound alike. And you're going to crank it up?
Yeah, and you got to replace your second one, buddy.
Why?
Because I had that one. I played that one. Bob Marley, give thanks and praises.
Bye.
Oh, okay.
So I'll just play the other ones until you...
No worries.
Yep.
He'll have one to you in about 30 seconds.
Yep. Songs about appreciation. This will be easy.
Will it?
Yes.
It's going to be painful for us, I can tell you that.
I hope so. I'm going to make it as awful as possible.
See, that's because you don't respect the listeners, no, the suspects enough. You abuse them with lack of participation and selecting awful songs.
Hank Williams Jr., thanks a lot.
There you go.
Done.
Nice. See? Hank Williams Jr. is a staple in the country community. He's a great artist.
I'm not disagreeing with that.
Okay. So I at least the artist I chose besides ABBA.
Yeah.
Is it ABBA or ABBA?
Either way.
Okay.
I'm not getting into all that with
you. I was just going to say ABBA.
Like an abbreviation.
Generated revenue in the music industry?
You know that they had a song called Chiquitita or something like that? It could have been just like your dog.
Really?
Instead of Chiquita.
What?
Yeah.
Chiquitita.
ABBA had a song, I think, Chiquitita.
This is secretly your favorite.
No, it is not.
I feel like it is.
Dude,
you know way too much about ABBA.
And a musical.
Joel.
All about ABBA. ABBA. See, you're going to go back and forth again. This is one of your hot buttons.
Don't act like you don't know a lot of trivia about.
I don't. I know a lot of trivia about a lot of music, but like what's. ABBA's best song. Or most popular song?
I don't know. You tell me.
I'm trying to think of it.
You're the one that knows. Okay. You know what it is.
I know. I'm saying there's...
You can tell by the way he's hesitating. You know what...
I can rattle off some for you. And no. I don't care. My dad used to listen to them, but I don't think...
How many ABBA songs do you know?
Let's see. Can we verify it? There was a Chiquitita? Is this it?
This is Chiquitita.
Chiquitita,
you and I know. If you can name,
how many?
I got to pick a good number here. If you can name 10,
I'm out.
I was gonna pay for something. I was gonna like bring you lunch or something.
That's great, but it ain't gonna happen.
You 10? Can't name 10 ABBA songs.
I bet you if we like listed it for
him,
he would recognize them all.
No. There's Fernando, Chiquitita,
Isn't Dancing Queen?
Dancing Queen is another one.
I don't know why I knew that.
It
was that one time I was
Loving Me, Loving You.
I was experimenting
you.
In college.
Looking for that one. The first three are all confirmed.
Loving You, Loving
Me? Loving Me,
Loving You. I don't see. I mean, I'll look at it. Hold on. Nope.
See, I'm out.
I think that's about it. Yeah.
Wow.
And Dancing Queen would be their number one song of all time, I would think.
You knew it was.
No, I didn't. I thought it was
Love
Fernando.
Me, Loved You is what it is.
Oh, close enough.
Okay, so that's four.
So that's close enough.
Four. I think I'm out.
You know, that's all. You only know four ABBA songs? Yeah. I'm disappointed in you.
Mamma Mia.
Oh, that was the whole the movie and the Broadway show.
Super Trooper.
I guess you got to turn in your fan card now. You're out.
Good,
of, you're out
I
of
never
the fan
had
club.
That's
so much for that.
Dang, I got to get back the lunch pail too. You get that as part of the fan club.
The ABBA lunch
pail. Yeah, you get a sticker book and you get a lunch pail, a backpack. Could be the Astros Buddies Club too. I don't know.
Some wings and a.
I thought you were going to do like a cape.
A fairy wand. And
I didn't know what you were doing there with your hand.
I don't know.
Okay. So we had talked about, with the Red Sox and the Yankees, we had talked about stealing signs.
Mm-hmm.
Now the story has evolved into the Little League World Series. And there is a team. Barrington, Rhode Island Little League is the New England region's representative in the Little League World Series this year. But they are now accused of stealing signs to help to get there. The manager of the team from Goffstown, New Hampshire, which lost to Barrington in the final, made the accusations after the game. And they said, you can see there was a, with runners on second base, they were leaning in, looking in, and doing hand gestures to kids at the plate to let them know what the pitch was and where it would be located. You can do that in big league ball, the manager said, but in Little League, it's unsportsmanlike, it's dishonorable, it's disgusting. You going that far?
Not in a Little League.
I'm not. You'd think they shouldn't do it.
No, I don't think it's disgusting. I think if your kids are smart enough to be able to figure that out.
Here's
okay.
the quote that got me.
Now, if the adults are the ones doing it, then I might have an issue if the adults are stealing signs
the
from the little
kids. Taught the
kids
what to do.
But the kids still have to go out and do it. I mean, look.
True.
Kids are dumb. So it's not like they're just going to go out there and... What?
When I read you this next quote, you're going to know exactly what
okay,
is.
Go ahead.
Okay.
By the way, Yuli just went ding dong.
Yeah, I saw that.
Okay.
Again.
So.
7-5.
The manager that has the issue with it, his final quote was, they did it the whole tournament and got away with it. And now that's what's representing New England in the Little League World Series. It's a bad look. Seriously, isn't it the best look ever for New England to have a team that's doing this?
Cheating.
They're cheating.
They're the Patriots of Little League.
It's like, what would they call the first one with videotaping all the practices and everything like that?
The Spygate?
Spygate. It's just like Spygate, only on the base pass. It's so fitting. It's so New England.
That's so New England.
It really is.
Yeah. I don't have a problem with Little Leaguers stealing signs. Again, if it was if you've got a first base coach or a third base coach that's maybe looking into the catcher and then signaling like, hey, it's going to be a fastball or, oh, you know, something like that, then I would have a problem with it. But if you got some little leaguer standing on second and he's stealing the signs from the catcher and relaying it to the batter, that's sophisticated for kids.
So here's your point, though, that it's not just the kids on their own. He said that they were suspected of doing this during their 2-1 win on Thursday. They alerted the umpire, as he did in the Saturday game for the finale, and they said warnings were issued to managers and players on the next pitch after the complaint. But that, as he said, that's something these kids don't learn on their own. That's something that they're taught.
Doesn't matter.
They're coached to do that. Obviously, the team condones it. They coach it. And personally, that's something that I'm completely against. Little League is supposed to be against it, but you wouldn't know it this week.
Yeah, I'm totally against teaching your kids how to win.
Boy, I tell you what.
It's cheating. Is stealing signs cheating?
We were taught to do it. Basically, ever since, I mean, from high school on, for sure.
I don't think it's cheating. It's being smarter than your opponent.
It's gamesmanship within
cheating
the sport.
Is having an emery board in your pocket and scuffing the ball. That is cheating.
Or pine tar.
Yes, but stealing a sign is not cheating. It may be unethical.
Having your balls deflated.
It may be unethical. It may not be something you want to teach your kids, but it's not cheating. I disagree with that.
You're looking for a competitive advantage.
Yeah.
And I think there's nothing wrong with that.
You're also trying to figure out what pitch is coming. And technically, you're not supposed to know that, right?
Well, then, I mean, if you then find start out, mixing up the signs. Have an indicator.
Yeah.
The same way you teach a kid to be able to steal the sign, the other team should be able to teach a kid how to get the proper sign, which is use an indicator.
Let me ask you this. Is it any different than if you understood or you picked up patterns in a signal caller on the football field and you knew that when they said, you know, right red 73, that it, you, oh, hey, right red, that means they're running to the right. I mean, that's no different.
Yeah. I just look at it like an at bat, kind of like a test. Like if you find a way to cheat on a math test, does that mean, well, you know, I mean, everybody, I've admitted I've cheated in school before, but like, let's say you do that. Does that mean, well, that's on you, teacher. You should have a more strict policy in regards to your test giving.
Is it raining or is everybody like, screw it, we hate the White Sox. It must be raining. Yeah, it's raining. In basketball, if point guard's coming down and he throws up three fingers and you figured out what play number three is, is that cheating?
Happens all the time. In a seven-game series, that's what the assistant coaches are paid to do. In part,
figure out what
break it down, and when they see a play that's effectively run, look at what the signal is, whether it be from the bench or an assistant coach, hand signal or otherwise, they pick up the audio, and then they know.
So
that's why they
say
in a seven-game series, it's so tough to be able to plan for another team because you know everything that they're going to do.
Yeah. So, again, it's not scuffing the ball. It's not putting pine tar up the bat so that the ball sticks on the bat. It's none of that. It's just... figured out what your language is.
You either definitely have the people that feel like everybody gets a participation trophy, and on the other end of the spectrum, you have people stealing signs.
And it's definitely not cheating in the event that you didn't know what the sign was. You figured out the sign, and then that's how you're able to relay it for the remainder of the game. So I feel like, all right, well, you learned what their signs was. That wasn't necessarily cheating. And I would compare that to the basketball example that you just gave. They may not know what that sign is for that play, but then they saw him chunk up the deuce and they ran a pick and roll and they knew that that was the play, you know?
Yeah.
Well, so. And the other thing is, too, you just...
But that's usually how it happens.
Yeah.
You'll watch a third base coach, and he'll do his... And then you see him steal and you go, all right, when he touches the chin as the third...
That's your
indicator. And the third thing in the pattern, that's steal.
Yeah.
So you figure that out. And guys are good at that. Alex Cora was good at that.
Yeah,
he was
so
also
you mix
good
up the indicator.
If a pitcher is tipping pitches, is that cheating
that's true.
You tell everybody? No. Stop tipping your pitches. Or make your signs
more
complicated.
In the NBA analogy, when your coaches have a meeting to start the postseason, you say that the new signal for the high pick and roll alley-oop is going to be this as opposed to that. And then if they're expecting something different, they look bad and you are at least you have a way to have an effective play.
Yeah.
So, all right, just want to throw that out there. All right, we're rolling through the final hour of the show. If you want to join us, 713-780-3776, HRNP Listener Line. Call us, text us, or hit us up on Twitter. Back with more. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
A small fortune, and you've squandered it all. You shame me till I feel about 1 inch tall.
ESPN. 97.5.
For those special life cycle moments,
live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Roll through the final hour. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Some good vibes today from our good friend Ivan, and we gave him a shout out earlier. His son's doing great. And he said, thanks for the shout-out, guys. My son's mom listened on the podcast, and they got all teary-eyed. She says she's a suspect for life now, and thanks to you guys, thought y'all should know, made our day. Appreciate that.
That's two people that almost cried today. Cowboy Trav said he got a little choked up on the call, too. We love the suspects, man. We love you guys. We want nothing but the best for y'all. I mean, a few of you are a-holes, and I hate you. But for the most part, 99% of you are awesome, and we love you guys. So
yeah.
Keep fighting the good fight, people.
Yeah, no doubt about it. We're here for you. And then someone tweeted, Ronnie tweeted, is it me or did all the 610 listeners just suddenly switch over just to hear Barry's funny songs? Well, if that's the only reason that gets them to turn over, then there are dumbasses in the world. They should be listening every day.
I don't understand.
I don't either, but I'm just saying. If
somebody tweeted that?
Yeah. To all three of us. Ronnie Das Gym Rat.
Oh. Yeah, I don't even get that, Ronnie.
Me either. Mm. But I don't get his picture either, so.
Is he a...
The wrestling man.
Not a juggalo. What do they call that? A luchador.
Yeah.
All right. So there's this story that came out, And I just want to go on the record and saying this wasn't me, because there was a man that was accused of force feeding his cat meth.
You're sure it wasn't?
And
you?
I would like to point out.
Or you just
out,
haven't been caught yet.
I would like to point out that it was not me. That this guy was, one, he's in New Mexico. Not a big surprise. They call it New Mexico.
Okay.
A lot of meth out
hadn't
there.
I hadn't heard that, but that's good.
I just made that up.
It was very good.
Thank you. Number two, he was already going to jail for holding his girlfriend against her will and battery.
Oh, good.
Then, while police were responding to the incident at the house, they learned he may have been neglecting his dog and a domestic short-haired cat. Authorities say he strangled and force-fed drugs to the cat and announced Tuesday that they upgraded his charges to animal cruelty after testing the cat and finding methamphetamines in its system. Here's the thing. If you've got a bunch of meth laying around and the cops are coming, why are you going to shove the meth down the cat's throat? Just flush it. Or are you just being a dick and giving your cat meth?
Absolutely. Why couldn't you just flush it down the toilet?
That begs the question. I don't know if he was just trying to hide the meth and maybe thought if I give it to the cat, he'll poop it out and I can still use the meth.
If it's in a baggie or something like that.
Or, you know, because if you flush it, it's bye-bye.
It's gone. You're not and getting you lose that. The money.
I would rather have poopy meth than no meth is maybe the thought
the
that goes through a meth head's mind.
You got to be desperate.
You gotta really love
your
meth.
You are.
You gotta really love your meth if you're willing to.
But we see the stories all the time.
Do you know how bad cat poop smells to begin with?
But obviously, the meth is wrapped in like plastic in a plastic bag or something.
Assuming, I mean,
otherwise it is gone.
Again, I'm assuming this is all how it went down. Maybe he's just one of those dudes that's like, I hate this stupid ass cat. I like the dog, although he beat the dog too.
Yeah.
But he's like, this cat is hers. I hate her. Ergo, I hate this cat. I'm going to give it meth.
He ain't using ergo.
How do you hold the cat down and make him smoke it? That's the question. Or shoot it up. You got to tie the little rubber arm around his and tap on his little paw.
That'd be so messed up.
You got a little needle and you're tapping on his little arm. You're like, he's like, yeah, man, tie me off. I don't know why. I don't know why the meth cat was Trey there just a second.
It was.
But that's weird. I swear.
Yeah. But again, I don't think he's using ergo. And I don't think.
You don't think so?
No, I just don't. But I don't think he's thinking that far
ahead.
And I think most important thing was he was trying to think of a way to salvage the meth.
I feel like people mess with cats more than dogs. Is that just me?
Because dogs can mess you up.
Yeah. An old employee of my dad's went to jail once because he was shooting pellets at he was using a BB gun to shoot at a cat. They picked him up right in front of the station. That was so funny.
Right.
Not the cat part, but him being picked up in front of the station.
I'll tell you this, because I guarantee if anybody tries to mess with our house, that they are going to pay the price. Because our pit bull, the one you met, the black and white one, when I go to school, take Taylor to school in the morning, I take the three big dogs. The pit bull is one of them. He's in the back seat today. I roll down all the windows and everything like that. I'm backing out of my driveway, and I hear what starts like a low hum get into a deep, bassy growl. Mm-hmm. And I look over my shoulder, and there's a guy walking a lab coming towards us.
Oh.
I luckily started rolling up the back window on his side because he had his whole ass on its way out the window to try and jump out and get the guy and the dog, and I got it by getting the window up, and it startled him, and he jumped back. And I'm looking back there, and man, when he decides that he's protecting the family,
his own.
All bets are off.
Well, that's how dogs are.
And you want to get mad at him, and I want to teach him not to do that in the car and obviously like that, but I love the fact that if anybody tries to mess with our house, they're in trouble.
Yeah. I mean, that's pit bulls, cool. Rottweilers, there's a misconception as to how mean they are, but they definitely will protect you.
And that's the thing. He, with Taylor and everything else, he loves our family. But if you mess with it and you even try coming up the walkway or whatever, look the hell out.
I really expected more from the Astros, by the way.
I did too, man. Again, you know that the other day the loss put a pit in my stomach, but you watch this and I'm just like, you see what the Yankees have done to the Orioles all season long and games you're supposed to win, and they're just not taking care of business. And you and I were talking about, I said it during. The Sox have their number. The Sox beat them in a series here.
But I expected more because of the way the Sox trolled them last night, too.
Well, that was dirty.
So Brian McTaggart tweeted this out, and on the scoreboard.
Well, they showed it during the game.
Did they?
Yeah.
On the scoreboard, in the, I don't know if this was between innings, or but it was around the fourth inning. This was the game notes that they put on the scoreboard. This is the Sox first doubleheader against Houston. The Sox and Astros technically played two games on October 26, 2005. The Sox finished a 14-inning, 7-5 win versus Houston in the early hours of 10-26 before completing the World Series sweep with a 1-0 victory later that day. Ooh. Wow.
Dirty.
That's not nice at all.
Especially when the guy in the booth calling the game for the Astros was the hero for the White Sox in one of those games.
Now, you said that they showed it on the broadcast. Yep. Did Blummer comment?
No, but then people started tweeting at it, too.
Yeah.
Going was, too soon. A lot of people said too soon to Blummer.
Blummer was a smart man not to say anything, because that was my next thought. When you said that they played it during the broadcast, it was like, oh, really? Did he say anything? But, you know, my thing is this, and I know you got to have some fun, and I think it's pretty hilarious that they would do it. But if you're 53-65 and 18.5 out in your division, and the team that you're playing is 78-42, I guess it's really all you have, because your team is obviously bad.
Right, but again, you're going to get some people that are going to really, you're going to be beloved because you're willing to do, you know, poke fun and have those kind of times. So
pretty funny, though.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
Yeah.
But people forget that the whole Blummer thing was the guy that was the hero, hit the home run for the White Sox in that series. So Ronnie the Gym Rat responded back, and he said the 610 comment was because old people typically listen there, and Barry was playing old people music. It was supposed to be a joke, and the profile pictures from a long time ago. I went to a Halloween party, so he took full sensitivity over the whole thing that we just said.
I do get the joke now, and it's funny now that I get it.
Right.
The fact
when you got to explain it.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's like a problem you had on Twitter.
Yeah. It's a lot of problem I have.
You do have a lot of problems on Twitter. And then you have to set lots of guidelines and rules.
I do.
So what was the one last night was if you tell a joke, but then people have to point out what part of the joke is funny, it's not funny?
No, I just said shout out to all the heroes out there, the real heroes that point out the joke in the joke that gets posted online. Because so many people, you'll post a joke. Well, this is the example. So someone, have you heard of this neighbor, my number neighbor thing that's going on?
No.
Have you heard about this?
No.
There's this whole phenomenon going on right now where people will text their neighbor number. So, like, if your phone number was 713-555-1212, mm-hmm. you would text 713-555-1213 or 713-555-1211, and those are your number neighbors. And then you just go, hey, you're my number neighbor. And then that person goes, you're a weirdo, don't text me again, or whatever the response is. So this has been going around, and some people are posting pictures of what their number neighbors are saying. So one guy was put like, he goes, oh, my God, my number neighbor was Bill Clinton. And he posted two screenshots of him saying, oh, my God, who is this? And he's like, it's Bill Clinton. He's like, no way. And they were like, yeah, it's me. He's like, this is so cool. And he's got these screenshots of the text messages. And at the bottom, cut off. But you can still read it. The last response from Clinton was, I'm going to have Jeffrey Epstein killed. Ha ha. LOL. But it's kind of cut off, right? Mm-hmm. So obviously the joke is that his number neighbor is Bill Clinton and even said that he was going to have Epstein killed.
Right.
But you cut it off to make it look like that wasn't the point, right?
Right.
Like it's a subtle.
Yeah. Inconspicuous attempt at humor.
But when you post this, everyone's like, oh my God, look at the last part.
Exactly.
Yeah, dumbass, that's the whole joke. It's like, why are you pointing out the obvious joke in this? I can't stand that. Or when you make a joke and then people think they need to fix the joke. Like, just let that person make their joke and keep it moving. If you think it's funny, like it, say ha-ha or whatever. Why are you trying to fix people's jokes for them? Let them make their jokes.
I hate that so much.
You're good at this. Have you ever thought about doing like a seminar?
Just shut up.
Maybe like, I don't know, like at a time when people could make it, like maybe Tuesday nights, where you could just help people out to understand comedy better.
I thought
I'd throw it out there.
All right, really quick, last attempt to get into the ESPN Fantasy Football Draft before we go to break.
Your fantasy football draft.
Yeah, I'll be at the Webster location, Twin Peaks Webster location, on August 21st, this next Wednesday. So 7 to 9 p.m., 713-780-3776. You have, I guess we're doing the three last callers. Callers 1, 2, and 3 will get an opportunity to be entered in the draft, and first place wins a $100 gift card. So 713-780-3776 if you want to join me at Twin Peaks Webster, August 21st on Wednesday.
There you go. So if you want to get in with Nick on his league, get on the phone right now. The phones are lighting up, so well done. Johnny Cash, huh?
You can't actually, to me, the Otis Redding and the Johnny Cash songs are not too bad.
Yeah.
But I mean, the ABBA one absolutely sucks.
I didn't want to read this text, but it says, I like the songs from Hour 3. I don't know who has Hour 3, but they're the winner today. It's in
probably
the
an ABBA fan.
Go read it.
ABBA fan.
So you tweeted, you texted the show. Is this what you're saying?
I hate you. Go to break.
There you go. Oh, now you're telling me what to do, too. Okay.
We're late, Joel. We're going to get in trouble. We're going to be in the bathroom together and get snitched on.
I can make it better. I got bobbleheads. Hey, we got a half hour to go on the show. Don't go anywhere. It's the usual suspects. ESPN 97.5.
Still, I would forgive you if you'd let me. I'd be glad if we could try again.
I hear this. You can now listen to all your favorite shows on the Amazon Echo.
Oh, sweet, dude.
Just say, Alexa, open ESPN 97.5.
Now playing ESPN 97.5.
Walking. Thank you for spending one day with a stranger. Thank you for talking.
Thank you for talking.
In showing the way.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
We sat on a wall, rest our feet.
Who is this?
Touch our noses.
You don't even know. You have no idea who this is.
Daryl Hall.
No, you're not supposed
no
to
idea.
Tell. This is Hall and Oates?
Yeah.
Really?
No way.
Yeah,
is
John
this
Oates.
Hall and Oates?
Who are these people?
You know Hall and Oates songs, Nicholas.
Yeah.
Okay, name
you
one.
You don't know who Hall and Oates
Kiss
is?
Kiss on My List. Wow.
So are they alive?
I know a lot of them. You Make My Dreams Come True.
Man-Eater.
Man-Eater. Yeah.
I can't go for that.
I can't believe Joel didn't remember Man-Eater.
See, I knew you were going to go there.
This is great, though.
No.
I like when he did the high note. And
Sarah
then they
Smile.
They started talking about riding a walrus or whatever that was.
This is awful.
I have this on my workout.
Now, that doesn't surprise me. But the fact that you had the audacity to put this on a list.
I bet that texter that said I'm enjoying hour three, whoever's hour this is wins, regrets sending that text
to
early.
I think they just switched back to 610. I think that's terrible.
Like, I can hear this over there. This is regular bump out music. We don't need a way back Wednesday for that.
Just so you know, though,
yeah.
On their Twitter handle,
yeah,
number one selling duo of all time.
Exactly.
Is their description in the profile.
That's why I chose them.
Seriously, we both said we should know a
They're
ton
making
of
our dreams come
Oates,
true.
Yeah.
Ooh, 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 ooh.
63,000 followers, only following two people.
Who are they following?
Palillo's running this account for sure.
Yeah, or are they following
Hall? Following him, I can tell you that.
Do they have individual accounts, and that's who they follow, Hall and Oates?
Hall and Oates.
Oates.
The Twitter handle is Hall Oates. No,
but I'm saying
it.
Who are their followers? Who are the two people
following?
They're following?
Hall yeah. and Oates.
That's what I'm saying.
I know. He's asking the...
Don't be the Twitter guy that explains
I'm
the
trying
joke.
To be.
God, I hate you.
Well, that's
You're
what I'm
really
trying.
On point today, and it's
I'm,
pissing me off.
Thank you very much.
All right,
who are they following?
For some reason, the one that I was signed into wouldn't let me, but I'm about to get it to you right now. Here goes. Oates and Hall.
See?
They're following themselves.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That makes sense. So they created two individual accounts.
Yeah, Daryl Hall.
And then
Hall
they created
a
group account
Oates.
or a duet account.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah. They're very popular. I was never a big fan, but when I saw their name and recognized, I was like, yep, that's going on
You know
the
how
list.
When you see pictures of your parents or other people's parents back with the bell bottoms on and all that stuff? and you're like, oh, wow, that, you know, the, that didn't age well or whatever.
Yeah.
The running joke Lisa and I have is that which one is it? Is it with the dark hair and the mustache?
That's Oat.
That's John Oates.
I don't know.
I always, and Lisa and I always joke that, that Lisa's dad looked like John Oates.
Really?
When Lisa was a kid. I was like, what are you doing in a family picture with John Oates?
I don't know why duos always have to have a blonde and a...
Starsky and Hutch.
Bo and Luke Duke.
There you go.
Ponch and John.
Another good one.
They always have a blonde dude and a brown-haired guy. Or dark hair.
Oh, You Make My Dreams is a fantastic song. I didn't know that.
Of course it is.
It's a fantastic
song. Hall & Oates had some
sneaky good
hits. Yeah.
I love this song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't believe I know this song.
They had some hits.
Kiss on My List.
What's your favorite one?
No.
Man Eater.
That's Nick. See, he spoke up for you.
Yeah.
Sarah Smile.
Yeah.
Well, you got greatest hits in front of you, Nick?
Yeah. Well, not the greatest hits, but it's True Cover, True Live. What else did they have?
Private Eyes.
There you go.
Yep. Out of Touch, Sarah Smile.
Out of Touch is another one.
She's Gone, Private Eyes.
Hall & Oates looks like the Equate version of Lionel Richie.
Family
the
Man.
One guy. The one guy with the mustache.
John Oates.
Yeah, he looks like an Equate version of Lionel Richie. Don't you think so? I mean, a little bit with the hair and the mustache.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He looks like Ron Jeremy's brother.
A little bit.
Or Super Mario.
I was trying to pull up there.
When the perm was cool. Super Mario with the perm? No? He does have the porn
a little
star
bit,
stash.
Yeah. I think I'm always amazed that the dudes, they get the perm mullet.
Uh-huh.
It's like, okay, you're going to have to pick one. Either get a perm or get a mullet. But you can't go with a perm mullet. That's you're doubling down. That's too much hair.
I love when suspects do finally come up to do us a favor. Brother Bear, who is driven.
I've had to mute Brother Bear.
By way back Wednesday.
Too many questions. Too many
Brother
questions.
Brother Bear just chimed in and said, what's the theme today?
Oh, my God.
And Jason Hebert to the rescue said appreciation and thanks. Thank you, Jason.
I just responded to
Thank
him
you.
As well.
Now you see why I have Brother Bear muted.
Oh, I don't because
I met him at the.
It was nine.
Yeah,
questions.
I met him last year at the party.
It's like we're his own personal magic eight ball, where he just shakes us as a show and asks a ton of questions.
Well, he had one for Dell too that I thought was pretty interesting today.
A question?
Yeah, it was a random question.
But he's such a loyal listener. I would never mute him. That's just cruel.
Somebody wants to know did Barry Warner? Shut up. Did Barry Warner make our number three list? No, you shut your mouth. This is quality.
Is that who you were texting at 1:45?
Here's a random question.
Someone texted, this music is awful. So,
well,
this is all on our producer, by the way.
here's the random question I saw that I thought was just so random. Who holds grudges longer, MLB or wives? Dell, you're out. You don't have no of them. So I don't know how, I don't know what that means. But yeah. I just
I don't
thought
know
that
about
was
that part of it.
MLB or wives? That's a good question.
Wives.
I would agree.
Yeah.
Eventually, P. Rose will get
in. You got that to
in.
Look forward to, Nick.
Eventually, P. Rose will get in.
I hope so, but I don't know.
No, after that last report or whatever, there's no way.
Yeah. That's
there's
what I said.
No
I don't know.
Way.
What was the last report?
The last, the someone published like a notebook, like a handwritten notebook or a paper of him, like, like putting odds down
bets,
on games
the
and the bets that he put on games.
Well,
that happened
yeah,
about,
I mean,
it happened a year ago.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean that he still bet on, you know, like he cheated. Like he threw games.
I
it
mean,
just means he bet on them. We all
he
know
was,
that.
At that point, if it almost not, sounded if, like he was going to get in.
But if you're not writing on down stuff and you're just out there betting willy-nilly, that's terrible. Like, you know, I mean, last year I had
someone
the
else
whole spreadsheet and, yeah, you're going
to
do that. Any good bettor worth his salt has a system. That they
I'm definitely
choose their games.
Yeah, absolutely, and I'm definitely leaving out some details, but I'm pretty sure it was someone else that was throwing him under the bus. I don't think it was him.
We've had this discussion, obviously, when he comes to town every year for the golf tournament that we're involved with, and we have him on the air and everything like that. We talk about it, but my thing is, I get it that he doesn't go in as a manager because he bet regardless,
yes,
and that's illegal
as a manager player.
But he's the hit king.
Yep,
and he didn't bet on anything but himself when he got 4,000 plus hits. And better than anybody to ever play the game. And that alone should put him in the Hall of Fame.
I agree because up until the point when he started betting on games as a manager, what he did on the field, he did.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Yeah. And so you can't take that away from him. It's like it's like the steroid era, and before the steroid era, people want to say, well, Bonds was on roids, so you can't count. Listen, Bonds was a five-tool player.
No question.
Before he started using roids, he had power, he had speed, he had all those things.
He was Ken Griffey Jr.
Yes. With that,
before he got
two, yes.
Yeah, he was Ken Griffey Jr. Those were the two best players.
Guys like Brady Anderson are the ones that went from 7 home runs to 50.
Yep.
But Bonds had it before that, so you can't penalize him in that regard.
No
doubt. If you want to say, you know, his home runs after the first 300 or 400 or whatever were cheating, okay, or whatever it is. But
yeah, I totally agree.
And so I think in a different scale, that's the same thing with Pete Rose.
So the it was a long hidden notebook that was obtained by Outside the Lines. Mm-hmm. And so apparently in 04 he admitted, but he was insistent in that he did it as a manager. This notebook apparently shows that he did it as a player, which was why the controversy was brought back up. And it started to look like, and this is ESPN.com, Outside the Lines, June 22nd, 2015. So I don't know if he'll ever get back in with that. With that second report, I'm not sure if he'll ever get back in.
That's troublesome.
As a player?
And here's the thing, and I'm not saying, obviously, with everything that we just said, but why does that notebook still exist?
Yeah, that too.
If you're Pete, once all the and you really want to get in, you torch that thing.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
But this is the same to me. Now, tell me if I'm wrong. By the way, Astros have scored now 8-7.
Don't jinx them.
Is that bases loaded still?
Yes.
Okay. One out? Two?
One out. One out, bases juiced in the eighth, or sorry, in the seventh, down a run.
Who's up? Was that Yuli that drove that in?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was.
Boy, if it's Chirinos, pinch hit. This is that time.
If it's any catcher.
Just pinch it. Actually, I'm good with it. It's Diaz.
Okay. Tell me if I'm wrong on this analogy. Uh-oh. Did they just bunt?
I told you, you jinxed them.
Why are you...
I said, don't jinx it and talk about it till they tie the game and he gets a freaking tapper in front of the plate and it's a double play. Gah!
You were happy that Diaz was up. Look at you.
Yeah, whoa. But I was also worried to death because of the fact that you torched the whole thing by going, oh, look.
You know, Diaz's track record. We got to go to break.
Why don't you play another bad song, Nick? Let's get out of here. It's the usual suspects. One segment to go.
Here I am.
Yeah! Oh,
God.
That's so great.
Who is this?
This is actually New Edition.
Get out of here. Just like that wasn't Hall & Oates.
This is New Edition, buddy. I knew that.
He never... has no idea.
None.
Maybe if it gets to the chorus.
Was this again. Ronnie, Bobby, Ricky, or Mike?
Yes.
Good deal.
The bad thing about it is that this song is only 2 minutes and 40 seconds, and we're 40 seconds into the song.
That's not a bad thing, Nick. That's a good thing. The shorter, the better. We'll be back with our final segment. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
You see, you watched over me all night long.
ESPN. 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What have you done to us?
I tell you what, I'm a champion right now in Beaumont with this song selection.
You're number one in Koontz.
They are loving me.
We geo-targeted the Twitter poll to the 409.
Boy,
y'all are killing the 409 today. I'm not touching it. 409 are great people. They love
nice
us
way to
there.
Separate yourself.
Really?
Because they love
break,
us there.
At the break, that's not what you said.
That's not true. You can't put words in my mouth like that.
I heard it. I just because it didn't go out over there doesn't mean you didn't say
you
it.
You created it.
All that 409 hate you were spewing?
Not even close.
Oh, man.
You were the ones.
That was a good-ass song.
Stereotyping.
Who was that?
See?
Hank Williams Jr.
Of course it was.
The replacement one.
Oh, yeah. Of course it was.
Thanks a lot.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Joel. I've got a broken heart. Can't believe that.
I'm not sure if
this song... There's a country guy with a broken heart? What?
This is not showing appreciation. I think he's being...
disqualify him.
No, it says thank you.
Thanks a lot for a broken heart?
Yeah, he appreciates the broken heart. It made him a better man. Thanks a lot. Yeah.
Okay.
You can disqualify me if you want. I don't give a...
Ooh,
hey. I do not care. I did the best I could do. By the way, the whole Pete Rose thing, I just wanted to make one point before we went to break, but we had to go. But The fact that we were surprised that he had a book that kept his gambling stats and notes, it seems –
What happened there?
Harris just gave up a home run.
Ha! Will Harris, who gave up a shot that Yordan Alvarez
why
caught,
are you so
just
happy?
Gave up a home run. So you're an Astros fan? I don't trust him.
You're an Astros fan.
I'm mad.
Oh, really? Do you trust Wade Miley? Because he gave up a lot of those runs. You're unfair.
No, I'm not.
You're unfair. No, I'm That's not. Absolutely true. Nope. Will Harris has given up one run. It's 8. It's 9-7. Who else gave up the other 8 runs? Thank you.
It's a track record, Barry.
And now back to the point I was
trying
to make.
He knew it was gone. He didn't even look back.
No, that was
when you give
no
up a shot
doubter.
Like that should have had a stewardess on it? No. You can't get a look at that one.
Yeah. Man, the stat cast on that is going to be bad. But the whole point about the Pete Rose documents and keeping track of the betting records and all that, I liken it to a little bit like when we saw the video of Ray Rice. Before we saw the video, we knew Ray Rice hit a woman, and we knew it was bad. And everyone agreed that it was bad, and he was suspended. But then we saw the video, and we're like, oh, my God, that was awful. It was awful already. Mm-hmm. We knew this. The video just proved what we all said and what he admitted to. So all this book does is prove what he's already admitted to, is that he gambled on the game, that he bet. It doesn't change the facts. It doesn't. There's no new stuff. Unless there was something where he said, all right, the Reds are playing the Expos, and I'm going to strike out 4 times, then there's nothing new to that. I don't know why. I mean, if he was getting close to being in, he should still be close to getting in, because it doesn't change the fact.
Yeah, I think in the Ray Rhodes
Rice.
Or, I'm sorry, the Ray Rice example you give, the reason why people are like that, too, is the fact that they want to hold out hope in humanity. They want to hold out hope that, just like we always say, hey, don't jump the gun. Wait until all the facts come out. And when the facts come out, we'll find out the real deal. And everybody's hoping that, well, hopefully he didn't hit her. But when the video brings it front and center.
But he admitted that he did.
For a long time, he denied it.
No.
Didn't he deny it?
No, they changed the suspension and lengthened it once the video came out.
But I mean,
it was a cover up. It was a cover up by the Ravens because the security guy that was at the casino when the incident happened to be a Ravens fan. So he was working with the Baltimore Ravens to cover up the incident. The Ravens were covering it up, and that's the reason why nobody knew until the video came out.
But didn't Ray Rice deny it?
No.
I don't think he ever admitted to it. I don't know if he denied it, but he definitely
did because he was already suspended, and they tacked on more.
I mean, it's possible. I just don't remember that chronological order of the story, but it's possible. I do remember the big issue with that whole story was the fact that the Ravens clearly knew the video existed.
Right.
About a month before it was officially published.
But that was the big beef is, look, you gave him 2 games or whatever it was, 3 games. Then the video comes out, and now the NFL wants to say 6 games or lifetime or, you know, the rest of the year. You knew, and that was the point. Oh, well, there was a cover-up. This video existed, and y'all knew it existed. You knew he hit her. Like, it's just the fact that the video, we saw it, as opposed to just knowing about it.
Certainly more damning when you see the video.
Right.
For sure.
But it's the same thing with this Pete Rose thing. Like, we never saw proof that he bet. He's admitted it. He's been banned. All that's happened. But now that we see the book, where the MLB is more outraged.
And he admitted it as a manager, but he denied it as a player.
But the book didn't change any of those facts. It just further proved that he did what he said he did.
I think if the notebook is talking about, as Nick said, if the notebook is talking about that he compiled all this stuff while he was playing, now it says it goes against what he said, which was, I bet as a manager and I bet on my team,
but
I never bet as a player. It looks like you bet as a player, too.
Remember, though, he was a player manager.
That too.
So are we going back and saying that when he was just a player only is when this occurred?
It is a similar dynamic because the documents were sealed for 26 years, according to that same report. So, like, it was people
they knew they
saw
existed.
It,
yes,
but not the public.
Right. And now, oh, no, the public has seen it. It's bad again. No, it's been bad. We know it. That's why he's banned.
Yeah.
But I would like to know, was he a player manager or does this go back to
just
player?
Yeah, because a lot of people take him at his word and go, okay, as a manager, I just said it earlier, as a manager, if you were doing what you did, then you're never getting in as a manager. But at least while you were playing, the one thing that we know is you didn't bet, and you put, you know, you bet on yourself enough to be the hit king.
Always bet on yourself, Joel.
The notebook
and Will Harris.
The notebook. Hey. The notebook was seized from the home of a former Rose associate by the name of Michael Bertolini.
Michael didn't get paid enough.
So there was a raid by the U.S. Postal Inspection Service in 1989. The documents have been sealed ever since. And then it was reopened in 2015.
That should have been firewood.
That was 2 years after.
For sure.
That was 2 years after Rose was declared permanently ineligible by Major League Baseball.
Hey, Joel, do you give Wade Miley a pass because only three of the runs were earned of the seven he gave up?
Oh, just like Devinsky, sure.
Oh, okay. See? I'm just seeing which side of the fence you're going to fall on this for future reference.
No, Miley crapped the bed today. There's no, you can't get around that.
All right. Just
so did Will Harris.
I mean,
he gave up a rocket and he gave up a screamer that Yordan caught.
Colin McHugh gave up a run. Will Harris, guess of all the people that
now
have pitched in the game.
Now you're starting to paint a picture here. We need to worry about the bullpen a little
bit. Of all the people that have pitched in the game, guess who has the lowest ERA?
Well, it's going to change. Harris. It's going to change.
It went up to 176.
No.
No.
He didn't? Okay.
No. So far, it's been Miley, McHugh. Oh, yeah. Smith did pitch. He went 0.1 innings.
So okay.
He got an out. He gave up a hit and got an out. But his ERA is still higher than Will Harris's. So, just,
let's just get out
pointing that out.
All right, that's a Wayback Wednesday. Tomorrow is the listener appreciation party. So, we're going to have a good time tomorrow leading up to the show, and you should join us. And, of course, like we do every day, we let you know that we're done at 4, but the Blitz isn't done till 7, and all you got to do is keep listening to Fred, AJ, Aaron, and company right here on ESPN 97.5. For Nick and Barry, I'm Joel. Have a great night, everybody.
And I didn't know if they sniffed their own farts or not. Yeah, boy.
This is DeAndre Hopkins, wide receiver for the Houston Texans, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.